snowbirds flew home. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Come home to a cold house, or is it warm now?
It's warm now.
Good, good. Before I start, I want to say a quick prayer for Bobby over here. Those of you who don't know Bobby is Wednesday night family, and he'll be leaving Wednesday morning for New York to go home to his family. I want to pray for him for his journey. Bobby needs an anchor, and I'm glad he's going home, and I hope in his family he will find that anchor, and in Jesus that he will find that anchor that goes wherever he goes. But I want to ask the Lord's blessing on him as he travels. Lord, thank you for this young man here. Lord, I pray your blessing over him. I pray that he will see you wherever he goes, that he will submit his heart to you, that he will make a safe trip home, find work, find a foundation. Lord, build a life that honors you. So we thank you for him, for his friendship, for his time here with us. And I just pray you'll walk with him now and show him, open his eyes and his heart, Lord. May he see you, Lord, you've done to all of us. You've been so faithful. And may Bobby know you that way. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys have been weathering through this three-week storm of wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives. It's been beautiful. There's so much to say about this. And I think you would agree with me that last week, talking about these pure families, that I came down fairly decent on the men last week. Don't be harsh with your wife. Before that, we talked about wives submit to your husbands. And in a reverse sense, what that means is don't try and rule over them. Work with them, come with them, under them, submit to them, be their best asset, but don't try to rule over your husband. He is the responsible one in the family. He will answer for your family. He is responsible. There's so much gray area in this. There is so much room for creativity. All our families are different, and how your family submits and loves may be entirely different from how the next family submits and loves, but it's still submitting to your husband and loving your wife like Christ loved the church. It's still got to be that. That is God's plan. Take it or leave it. Say yes to God or say no to God, but that is God's plan. So whereas we swallow deep and we grovel a little bit, if he truly is good, as we say he is, and he truly does know best, as we say he does, we need to follow his plan. And the man is the head of the home, leader of the church, and that's what we need to do. Today I want to investigate a little bit further this idea, and I will call this a powerful families, and it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Again, poking a little bit at this, looking at both sides of this, the male and the female side, the wife and the husband side. If you're not married, take notes. You probably will be someday. And it would be good if you had this under your belt ahead of time. It would be great if we could raise our kids, our youth, our children with these thoughts. Be very helpful for them. They will need a foundation under them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. And I'll just tell you right away, when it says wives be subject, that's the word submission, be in submission. So you'll see it throughout 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So I'm going to use the same structure to approach the wife and the husband. You'll see it. And I'm going to use two words, powerful and precious. So the wife's conduct is said here to be respectful and pure. Respectful and pure. So the wives respect their husbands, and their conduct is pure. And that pure there is that same word, that hagnos word that means your conduct is pure, means it is totally filtered, totally directed towards your home and family and toward Him. And that's why it says submit to your own husbands. Your conduct, there's no question that your conduct is devoted to your family and to your husband. And He sees that conduct. He sees that you respect Him and that your conduct is not divided. There's no one else down the street, nothing else pulling you away from your family, but you are a devoted wife to Him and to your family, and you respect Him. This is a powerful, powerful thing. And you don't understand it. You're the wife. You don't get into the husband's mind that much. It's hard for you to understand, but this is extremely powerful. It's powerful enough to win his soul. This conduct is powerful enough. You might, doesn't say you will, you might, you may win his soul. This says that just that conduct is so powerful, that just by him seeing it and feeling it, you might win his soul. You have a lot of power in you, just in respect and pure conduct, pure devotion to him. He loves that. He loves that you are purely, purely devoted to him and to the family, and that you respect him. Notice it doesn't say respect him if he deserves it. He doesn't deserve it. No one deserves it. I don't deserve grace, and you don't deserve grace. I don't deserve her love, and certainly don't deserve her respect. This is not about deserving. This is about grace. You are a very powerful person as a wife. And I know in some of your heads right now, the wheels are turning and you're going, but. And I'm just telling you what God is saying. And I'm not saying it's 100%. This is not a gold bullet or a magic formula. I am saying that this is what God says, that you can, in fact, win a husband who doesn't obey the word, who doesn't follow Jesus, You do have the potential in you to win that man simply by your respectful, pure conduct. He will say later, he will add to this and call it, say, a gentle and quiet spirit. And I don't know. I don't know how that's going to happen. I just know God said that can happen. That husband still has choices to make. He still has to exercise faith and belief. I just know this is what God says. And I believe God. I believe His word to be true. And so this is the path and the course to take if you have a disobedient, unbelieving husband. Start here. Start with this path. Maybe it's not as pragmatic as we want to think it to be. Maybe it's not like, I have to do this. If I do this enough, if I'm respectful enough, if my conduct is pure enough, if I cross a line, I'll win him. Ding, 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 ding. But if I don't have enough, I won't win him. And it's on me. And I would say that's false. I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's all on you. I think you do this to the best of your ability, and God will bless with grace as God sees fit. But I don't think if your husband's just not crossing that line, it's all on you. It says you may win him. Your husband is still the responsible person of the home, and he still has to choose Christ. So I don't want to say, have enough faith, have enough respect, have enough pure conduct, and if your husband's, you're not winning him, you're failing. I'm not saying that at all. Maybe it's just going to be God's blessing to say, you know what? You're doing it. You're doing the best you can. You're being upfront and honest with this. Boom, I'm going to speak to him and move him. It is all about God in the end. But maybe that's your best voice, is that quiet and gentle spirit, the respect and the pure conduct. Maybe that's your most powerful asset. And I would say it is, based on the Word of God. It is. You're powerful, ladies, wives, and this is precious, the second word. This is precious in the sight of God. It says that in verse 4. It just says it. Let this adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. You want to win your husband, and even more so, man, respectful and pure conduct, a quiet and gentle spirit is precious. Very precious in the sight of God. Are you sure you still want to say, well, that's not me? Are you sure you still want to say, there's no way? There's no way I'm letting him be the head of the home. Are you sure you want to turn this down when it's very precious in God's sight? Are you sure? That's not the way God apparently made you. If He says, this is precious in my sight. I'm just not wired that way. I'm mouthy. I'm arrogant. I'm forceful. Are you sure? It's God that made you. I would say He knows you better than you know yourself. Are you sure you don't want to work at this? If it's very precious in God's sight. The word keeps popping up, this adorning. Adorning, adorning, the hidden person of the heart. is the adorning of this gentle and quiet spirit that's very precious. I will say it makes sense. It's an imperishable beauty, which makes this room totally even. It makes every woman in this room even across the board. It makes every woman in this room, it puts you on the same plane with, name your most favorite beautiful actress on the planet. And it puts you on the same plane when you're measuring by that quiet and gentle spirit, that imperishable beauty of the heart. When you master that, it's quite possible you are more precious and beautiful than who? Jennifer Garner? Who? It's hard for me to come up with names, isn't it? Jennifer Lopez? You know what I'm saying. Name it. Name the most beautiful rock star chick actress out there who's got the physical thing going, but in God's sight, you've surpassed that. It's imperishable. It's imperishable. You know what that means? Age won't diminish it. You may look pretty nice now at 30 or 35, but when you're 65, the outward appearance is fading, isn't it, ladies? It's sagging, right? But not the inner. You took me all wrong. You took me all wrong here. I know who I'm talking to now. A little bit of a seamy crowd. But you know what I'm saying? This only gets better. This only gets better. It doesn't go away with time. You hold up those high school pictures and you hold up your picture now. It doesn't fade with those pictures. This beauty, this preciousness in God's sight, it only gets better if you keep working on it. It only gets more precious and more powerful as you keep working on it. Fashion, culture can't touch it. Age can't touch it. It's an imperishable beauty that, at least in God's sight, if not His, it's beautiful. It's precious. And He will bless. He will bless. It's an amazing, crazy thing I learned here. Talking about adorning the hidden person of the heart or adorning the exterior. Now don't get all rankled when it says the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. He is not saying don't do these, right? He's not saying don't braid your hair, don't put on jewelry, and don't put on clothes. Put on clothes, okay? Put on clothes. Take a bath, comb your hair. He's talking about your appearance. That is not your best asset. That's what he's saying. That is not the power play. Go ahead and take a bath anyway. What he is saying is this, that your external is not eternal. Your external appearance is not eternal. It may be helpful, but it is not eternal. External is not eternal. Helpful, but not eternal. Let me get inside of you just a little bit, and you can tell me later why I was not quite there. But I think I'm there a little bit. I think the external, I think the external, when a woman gets all fancied up, when she is killing it, looking good, it might not win your husband's soul, but you might get your way. You might just get your way. You're looking so good and so fine and so hot. And God says that's not the path to your husband's soul, but it might be the path for you to get your way. You might just get what you want today. You might just be able to persuade him with the answer you're looking for today. It might get you your way. It just won't get his soul. A question I would ask a person who is chosen that path: do you love him enough to want his soul more than you want your way? We all want our way. I want this house to run my way. I want to get that my way. I want this to go my way. And to do that, I'm going to deck myself out. And I'm going to use a little bit of savvy and a little bit of some of my other assets. But God says this is how you do it. Pure and respectful behavior, a quiet and gentle spirit. If your thoughts are his soul. I know you're cunning. I know you're smart. I know you're beautiful. I'm just telling you how to get to his soul. And you're going to have to look inside your heart and say, am I really wanting my way? Or do I want his soul? It's a tough choice. Spend some time working on it. As for your appearance, may it be neat and attractive and modest. But as for your adorning, may it be a gentle and quiet spirit of the heart. It's hidden inside of you. The word adorning, I just had to know what the word adorning was. And so I began to look up the word adorning. Now y'all are familiar with the word cosmos. Cosmos, world, cosmos. So the word cosmos, world, when we talk about it, we talk about this world, this cosmos, and you read it in your Bible. If you read world, you got to know the context. Because it could be talking about how creation, the woods and the trees and the ecosystem, and how everything is designed and set up and it functions together. How the body functions, all these things just functioning, this unique design and beauty of creation, the cosmos, physical cosmos. Very often in the Bible, the word cosmos or world is used to describe how men interact, how mankind interacts and works in itself, how we think and how we organize ourselves and how we move amongst each other, the world of mankind. This is how man is. And it's always evil. It's not good. It's without God. It's just how we function and move in the intricacy of our design. So you can imagine how surprised I was when I saw that the word adorn is the word cosmos. It's not appearance. It's nothing else but how you design and create and organize and shape who you are. It's that inner shaping, that inner world, that inner cosmos of a gentle and quiet spirit, respectful and pure conduct in your home. It's that design and organizing world within you. It is so precious to God. And I pray you'll take this teaching as just that, God's word and God's design for your world, and create it to be as powerful and as precious as you possibly can. Work on it. If it doesn't fit you, if you go, man, that's just not me, that's not how I'm wired, work on it. It's God's word, it's God's design. It's God's world inside of you. Go His way. This is the way. This is the design that the holy women of old used to take. And it's still a holy woman's hope in God. This way. This way. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they're heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And I'll use the same structure for the men, for the husbands, this understanding way, living in an understanding way and honoring her, showing her honor with your conduct is powerful and precious. You think I'm stretching it, but you'll see in a minute I'm not. This behavior, and I'm just going to tell you this, living in an understanding way has been tremendously helpful to me personally. This one is one I go to often. When Terry does something, and I'm like, this verse comes to my mind. Live in an understanding way. It doesn't say I have to be a mind reader. And I'm not a woman, so I don't know where this is coming from. However, I understand she's different from me. And I approach her as like a weaker vessel, and so I'm understanding towards her. Okay, I'm hot, and she's cold, and she wants the heat turned up, and I'm roasting in here. Okay, I'm an understanding kind of guy. She's the weaker vessel. Well, now I'm cold, and she's flashing. You know what I mean? She's flashing. It's like, would you turn that down? I am burning up. And I'm like, wait a minute. My thermostat is not broke. Yours is. And I am an understanding kind of a guy. And I go, okay, she's a weaker vessel. The thermostat's broke. I'm going to turn that heat down. Now, this has been very helpful to me. So I understand that truth. I don't understand the female psyche, body, or person. Not well. But I understand that truth. And I show her honor. Show her honor. It's a weaker vessel. And it's powerful. It's powerful. Look, I'm not drawing this map up. I'm not writing the instruction sheet. God already did, and this is God's word. And it's powerful. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. This is so powerful that how I treat her affects my prayers and communication to the Creator God. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. If I want my prayers to go through at full force, and I want Him to hear and answer speedily and powerfully and quickly, my conduct to her has a direct bearing on that. That is hugely powerful to me. My prayer life is growing. And I have prayers that are deep in my heart, and I want to see them answered without hindrance. I'm praying big things for souls so lost. I want to see souls saved. I want to see this place changed.
And how I behave to her affects that. That's powerful. That's hugely powerful.
You do have a prayer life, don't you, men? You do have a prayer life. You do have some sort of a regular, growing prayer life. You do talk to the Creator, correct? How you treat your wife affects that. You're praying for souls, I assume. You're praying for those around. You're praying for your light to shine. You're praying for your life to change, for you to be more like Christ. You're praying to honor and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have a prayer life, I assume, men. And your behavior to her directly affects that, at least according to the Word of God. You may not think so. That really doesn't matter. According to Him, that affects your prayer life. Whether or not they get there, how quickly they're answered, I don't know. I just know He said, you need to treat her this way so that your prayers are not hindered. And that's hugely powerful for me. And I believe for this church, as we are a praying church. Men, if we're going to lead this church, if we are going to pray this church into the kingdom, into this community, into the gates of hell, we're going to need you to have a prayer life, and we're going to need you to treat your wife well in an understanding and honoring way. How have your prayers been answered? I'm just asking. How you take inventory. I've been praying for this, and this is how it was answered. Do you know? Take inventory, men. Take inventory. This is powerful. Treat that woman with understanding. If the only thing you understand is the Word of God, you do not understand why she turns that heat up. You show her honor because your prayers are on the line. And I can't think of much more powerful than that. This behavior that husbands, we all have the potential to do, this understanding, being in an understanding way. Doesn't say you understand her, it says in an understanding way. And in an honoring, you show honor to her. It's precious. It's precious in the sight of God. It's precious because it says here that she is an heir with you of the grace of life. She is a joint heir with you of the grace of life. Live in an understanding way because you and her are joint heirs together of the grace of spiritual life. That's Zoe, spiritual life. So, what's this mean? What's this mean? So, what this is saying is, Terry, Heather Holm, Mr., treat her in an understanding way, showing her honor, because you and her are partners toward an inheritance of grace, of spiritual life. She's my partner. She's my biggest asset, my best help. She's got my back. She's my mirror. And together, we are partners building an inheritance of the grace. It's all a gift of spiritual life. The spiritual abundance. Everything God has for us in Christ now and later, there's an inheritance for you. There's inheritance for you. There's inheritance for you and you and you and any of these other families, you are building toward, you're laying up treasure in heaven. And guess who your partner is? It's her. Me and her. There's inheritance we're building. And so I'm going to show her honor. Because I want a lot. I want a big inheritance. Okay? I want to do a lot for the King. I'm not earning salvation. No, no, no. This is grace. And we are just now glorifying the King together. And there's an inheritance. We're laying up treasure. And she's my partner. Joint heirs. You're heirs together of the grace of life. That's cool. That's precious. That's valuable. Do you know what the word honor means? No, you don't. So I'm going to tell you the definition from the Greek lexicon of honor. That means I show her honor. It means valuable. Very valuable. Very, very valuable. Number one. Number two, if it was in relation to money, we would say it's very expensive. It's very expensive. If we were speaking of gems like gold and precious metals, we would say precious metals. It is precious. She is precious, valuable. The worth of her in my life as my joint heir, my partner, glorifying our King, laying up treasure in heaven together, is invaluable. Priceless. I see her that way, with those eyes, according to the Word of God. I live with her then in an understanding way, not understanding her, but understanding she's built differently. And we can work together to create and to enhance and to enjoy the grace of spiritual life and all the abundance Christ has for us. She is not just expensive. She's valuable. She's precious. So we look at her that way. Now, one clarification. Okay, men, you're with me. You have a prayer life. And you are on the front lines for this church and for your family. And I'm assuming you have prayers even in your home and family that you so want answered. And this has everything to do with those prayers. And you want to honor Jesus so bad. You want to change everybody around you wherever you're at, and this has everything to do with that. But ladies, I know you're going, I am not a weaker vessel. And I know you're not. I know you're not. And that's not what he said. He didn't say what you think he said. He said you treat her as or like the weaker vessel. So, he didn't say you have a weaker mind. He didn't say you have a weaker personality. He didn't say you are weaker in any way except that your vessel is a little more fragile. That's why women don't play in the NFL. That's why if her and I were to arm wrestle today, I would beat her. That's all it's saying. Her body is a little more fragile. That's why she wants that heat turned up. That's why now she wants the heat turned down. That's why she was happy with that piece of furniture yesterday, but she's not today. And I understand what God said. So I honor her as like, not weak-minded, not weak-talented, not weak in abilities, just as a weaker vessel, and she is probably more prone to fear and fright than I am. If there's someone breaking into the house at night, she's probably going to want me to go take care of that. And so that's why he said, don't fear. Don't fear, ladies. Anything that's frightening, it's okay. You have a man there who honors you and loves you and understands you, and he's going to be there with you. He's your joint heir as you build the kingdom together. And I honor her in that. I don't scorn her or shame her because of that. She has a brilliant mind and a brilliant heart and talents and gifts that God Himself planted in her. She is worthy, worthy of honor, worthy to live in an understanding way. She's my joint heir. We will inherit together. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. Just let you chew on that. That's hard enough. That's big. That's a big challenge. I'm just going to ask you, because I know our church pretty well. I know we're growing. I know we're growing. And I don't mean just in numbers. I mean in strength, in spiritual strength. This body of believers is getting stronger monthly, weekly. The force that we have in this community, on these streets, the dinners we serve, the people we minister to, it's not for the faint of heart. Let's be honest. And ladies, I know that sometimes that ministry may be a little fearful to you. But you've got some men here who understand your value, and we understand who you are. We understand that that ministry can be a little bit frightening at times. But I want you to know we value you. We honor you. You are priceless to us. And we understand those things. When that ministry's done on Wednesday, we get together and pray. And that prayer is the force and the power of this church. That prayer is that racing fuel in this car's engine. It's that prayer that drives this thing. And it's going to drive this thing into the future to change this town. Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. If we suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. Blessed are you when men revile you, treat you in all manner of evil conduct for my name's sake. Blessed are you. Don't fear. Don't fear. There's some men around here that honor our women. We're responsible. We're the head. We get that. Just join with us. Just hang with us. Just do it. We're not treating you as secondhand citizens in any way, shape, or form. We honor our women. But we've got work to do. We've got work to do. Will you partner with us? Will you partner with us? Don't be afraid. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for every man and every woman here, whether married, single, whatever. Thank you, Lord. We honor our ladies, created in your image, gifted, talented, amazing, adorned by your fingers, just like the men. Lord, together as a church, we want to do your business. We want to glorify you. And our prayer is to change this town. So, Lord, I pray, draw our hearts together. Pray for each family here, Lord. May they work this out. This is your word, Lord. This is your truth. I pray for every heart here. Organize their world of their family. Adorn the world of their family according to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.